My name is Michael Rodriguez, and I'm here to talk to Diane Seuss. Is it Seuss Brakeman or is
the
it
Brakeman
Seuss?
Flew the coop.
Okay.
So it's just Seuss.
So it's Diane Seuss.
Mm-hmm. More elegant, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Less hyphenated, therefore, mm-hmm. Yeah, brevity.
We're done with hyphenation.
Yeah, as a culture, or just you.
Well, yeah. We should be, generally.
Today is the 26th of October. Diane's here to give a reading. This is for the Michigan Writers Series, and the one of the questions we always ask is about Michigan. Mm. And I read your book, and I was partly taken that while place is important in the narratives of the poems, specific places are actually never mentioned. In fact, I can almost tell, or one can almost tell, what places you're describing, but they seem more mythological, and mm-hmm. I suppose maybe I'm answering my own question. But I wondered if you could talk about that, and how mm-hmm. important is a sense of, you've lived in Michigan for a long time now, too.
Mm-hmm. I've lived other places, but I returned to Michigan.
Yeah.
And I feel like my internal landscape, the landscape in my poems, is very Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I think it over the years, it's moved from a literal landscape to a more mythic landscape. I was raised in Niles, southwest mm-hmm. lower Michigan, little town on the St. Joe River.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's sort of the primal landscape that mm-hmm. all the poems move off from. But also the Upper Peninsula, and the whole last section is set at, in Drummond Island,
mm-hmm.
Plays a role as well, sort of an escape route role, and also my own wildness reflected in that landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I don't want to live in Niles, or even I have trouble going back there, now it's a lot of Taco Bell action,
mm-hmm.
but it's necessary for me to have that still inside.
Well, you must live not too far from there because you teach at Kalamazoo College.
I live in Kalamazoo, yeah. Which is sort of an extension of mm-hmm. Niles, but Kalamazoo has things that Niles didn't, just having the educational institutions and all.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels right to me to still have those open fields and dead corn and all that stuff that keep my muse going.
Well, it must be a muse because you do return to it, and it is an unusual thing these days in the culture in which we live, where nobody stays in one place for very long,
mm-hmm.
For someone to have lived in a landscape for that long of time. So you're living your nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
You're living your pastoral elegies.
That's very, sort of, very good.
Yeah.
Very true. And it always feels, I hate this cover with the butcher knife, but it does feel like a knife edge. To sort of live the nostalgia and not fall in it or be sucked away into it. There was something I was going to say, but I can't remember.
Why do you hate the cover?
I didn't choose it. I don't know who this
was. I was going to ask something about that, actually, because the New Issues Press books, I think,
mm-hmm.
are nice books.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, at what point is there any sort of collaboration at all between the authors and the...
No. In fact, when the cover came out, I really hated it, and I told them, and they said, there's nothing you can do about it. The blonde chick, I don't know who she is, but she's not in any of the poems, and she's not me. And the knife, which is just, to me, a really shallow understanding of what I'm trying to do in there. You know, this sort of female violence thing or something. I like the boat.
Well,
but
there's a reference to whittling your own canoe or something like
yeah.
that in one of the poems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hope. That poem, Hope.
Well, that's an interesting point, too. The idea of violence. I mean,
mm-hmm.
There isn't a great deal of overt violence. It's not... the violence seems more cultural than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
My new poems,
I think because they're fierce poems at times, I think they kind of factored that down to this sort of, you know, psycho thing. But my new poems, a lot of which I'll be reading tonight, are much more intense and violent, you know, in that and fierce than these poems. This seems like a lifetime ago. Mm-hmm. It's
it came out in 98.
Yeah,
so that's 5 years ago.
Yeah, really. Whole different.
So you were probably writing them 10 years ago.
Yeah, some of them. So it feels. I feel these are really young mm-hmm. poems to me. Mm-hmm.
You don't read old work much when you do readings.
I'll read some, yeah. But at you know. Probably being a writer, after a while you're over it. You know, it feels like somebody else. I like the God poems, the shorter poems in mm-hmm. here. And I like the Drummond Island section a lot, and I don't know that anybody else does, but I do. Mm-hmm. But there's just a... they feel really innocent to me.
That's what I was going to... That was the main question I think I was actually going to ask, was about the God poems,
mm-hmm.
which is not... At times, it almost feels like a traditional Judeo-Christian God, but mostly it's not. It's more of a mythical
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
It really shifts. At one point, I was a therapist, and not anymore, thank God. But a client said to me, you know, in AA we say, you can be pissed at God, you can say anything you want to God, God doesn't mind, God can take it. And I really like that idea of God as, you know, sort of able to take all of you. Mm-hmm. And from there I wrote the poem Viceroy, where mm-hmm. God wants your whole sparkling self, you know. And I just began to do this series of poems where I could talk to God and envision God any way I wanted. Mm-hmm. And it was great. It Blows You Hollow, which is the title poem, really, I think that becomes the God that I end up living with, which is this sort of odd trickster, duende dude. Not a father, certainly. Mm-hmm. You know.
You say these poems seem so old now. Does there carry over? Are you still doing these God poems, even if you're not...
Yeah.
Actually, same God?
Probably everything since then is God, but not as overtly or as directly, yeah. Not addressing God in particular, yeah. But I think you'll hear in poems that I read tonight. You know, right, the probably 2 weeks after this book came out, my husband of 17 years split. And so,
wow.
Yeah.
So they printed them all at the same time, so you can't remove the Brakeman from the...
I know, and when I signed the book, I crossed the Brakeman out. there's nothing I can do about that. That's who that girl was.
Yeah.
But Brakeman split, and then the poems spun out into all other places. Mm. I'll read some tonight that are from that time, and I guess everything since, where love and betrayal have become central. You know, to my work, maybe more than anything else mm-hmm. right now.
You mentioned that you were at one time a therapist. Now, obviously, you're the poet in residence.
Mm-hmm.
Is it writer in residence or poet in residence?
The president calls me poetess in residence.
Poetess in residence.
Even on my contract.
I'm not sure if that's...
That word sort of went out a few years ago,
I'm
like
sure
40.
But elevating or...
It's,
some
I think, you know, because of who I am, it's sort of a joke, but I'm writer in residence.
Right.
But
so you teach?
I teach, yeah.
And obviously one chooses to teach, if
mm-hmm.
you do it, there's other things to do. You can always wait tables, right? Or
that's
go back
right.
to being a therapist.
Be a barmaid, truck driver.
this is one of the sort of typical questions that we ask is that... A lot of the people that read in this series are teachers,
mm-hmm.
and there's an obvious question to be asked. How does teaching inform or, I guess, subtract from or somehow add to the idea of being a writer?
That's a great question. That's a book's worth. I love teaching. I don't teach, you know, because I'm a writer and it's a thing to do to make money. I don't make that much money. I love to teach. And I think my writing informs my teaching more than vice versa.
Mm.
My writing feels like a separate private place for my students. That's pretty racy, for one thing.
Mm.
More in new book work than in this one. But But I feel like I put a class together intuitively, like I write a poem. I was thinking about that as I was driving up, actually. And I try to keep the classroom really edgy and intense instead of that sort of hideous dryness that I feel, for me, most classrooms sort of, you know, deaden you. And mm-hmm. I like a lot of hilarity and mm-hmm. and spontaneity in the classroom. I'm really organized, too. It's sort of form and content thing, like with poems. But man, you know, I don't know. I would miss teaching terribly. Mm-hmm. And of course, I think working with 18 to 22-year-olds keeps you young, you know. I'm 47, and I don't feel or I don't think live like a lot of 47-year-olds.
Well, that's a different kind of place to teach, too, because what you just said, there is a college. It's not mm-hmm. a university, so the students are all young. Mm-hmm. You don't have graduate students.
No, we don't.
So that's a different... Have you taught at that level before?
In my other field, I'm a clinical social worker, mm-hmm. and I taught grad courses and that, and I love that, too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I've also taught older people writing workshops and literature. Mm-hmm. But I like this age group a lot. Mm-hmm. They're right, you know, they're blooming, and mm-hmm. it keeps me blooming, I mm-hmm. think.
I used to think it was much more fun to teach the students who realized they knew nothing than the students that think they know.
Yeah,
that's
the jaded.
A terrible comment. But, yeah, something like that.
I'm not jaded, and yeah. I enjoy kids who aren't, and you know, I ought to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I work hard not to be.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Do you see yourself staying in Vietnam? You've been to the western part of Michigan at least off and on mm-hmm. for, it sounds like, your whole life. Do you plan on staying?
My son is in college, and we have a tuition deal at K. Okay, he's at Denison, so they can go any of our schools. And so he has 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then all bets are off, baby. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could be in Alaska or Damascus. I don't mm-hmm. know.
Do you have a forthcoming book?
Well, I have one circulating that mm-hmm. I've worked on sort of since this one's called Two Wedding Dresses. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Mm. You know how hard that is.
I'm sure it'll do well.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for talking.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good. Nice to meet you.